Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's Sunday night, and you're in church, amen. Tonight, the Lord, I really believe, spoke to me very clearly about how to start this week, this evening. And my message this evening is called, Lord, Send the Rain. Lord, send the rain. And I found it amusing this afternoon while I was preparing that the rain really came. Do you know that on Pentecost, every year it rains a lot. Every year on Pentecost. And we were talking about it, my wife and I, this afternoon. And it's just amazing. Amen. God is He's also into the little things. You know, every time we drive together, we'll be in the car and she looks up and she goes, and I look at her looking up for just a moment, and then she goes, you see, the Lord still loves me. And there's this flock of birds that always flies by her. And she has this thing with God that every time she looks up, that the Lord will send her a flock of birds. And it's like so annoying for me because I look up and go, okay, God. And nothing happens. And I don't understand it. You know, but she looks up and then bam, there they are, you know. I think he likes her more than me. I like her more than me too, amen. So this evening, I can't wait to really dig into this, and I believe it'll open up things for the rest of this week. You know, with it being the Feast of Pentecost, I think it's only appropriate for us to talk about Pentecost. To talk about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he is just so good. You know, that song, The Lord Our God is One. We only serve one God, but He has three expressions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every one of those expressions is God. And you can worship and love each expression of who He is. And that's why when I talk to Him, I don't feel bad about saying Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit when I pray. Because every part of God is who I love. And I wouldn't want to be without any part because every expression is so amazing. But the part that He left with us is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it will be better for you. It'll be better. How can it be better for Jesus not to be with us? But He said that it would be. And when you start to walk with Him, He starts to lead you. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night, being led by the Spirit. But this evening, I think it's so important for us to open it up by starting in the Old Testament. And so we're going to do that this evening. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to you, who leads you and guides you. The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts you, who shows you things to come, who reveals Jesus to you. The truth is you'll never really know Jesus unless you know the Holy Spirit, because He's the one who opens you up to seeing who Jesus really is. You see, religion, when they looked at Jesus, didn't recognize Him. So it is in the New Testament days, in our days, that without the Holy Spirit, you truly cannot see Jesus in the Word. The way He really is. But the Holy Spirit brings Him alive and shows you the love that He has for us, the compassion, the goodness. And it's amazing because if you want to know what God's like, just look at Jesus. That's the same God that's the Old Testament God. He's the same one, full of love and compassion, full of goodness and mercy, puts up with our nonsense all the time. I don't know how He does it. I wouldn't put up with me. But I'm so thankful I'm not Him, because I wouldn't put up with me. Amen. But He has this incredible way of showing great love and compassion, great mercy. And sometimes when you feel your weakness, that's when He really shines through and reminds you that it's not about you, that it's actually all about Him. Matthew 3, verse number 11. Matthew 3, verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, which we spoke about last week. We'll talk a little bit more about that this week. But he will always also baptize you with the fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. And what does the fire of the Holy Spirit do? The fire of the Spirit strengthens you. It purifies you. If you look in Malachi, it speaks about him being a purifying fire. He will come and he will purify us. He will. It actually says that because of that purification that we will become righteous. We can't be righteous without the blood. We can't be righteous without him. It's his fire that purifies us. When the fire of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and his fire comes upon you, I've seen people become so passionate about God. The fire of the Spirit, what it does is it basically, it's like a purifying fire, but it also reveals God's love to you. I've seen so often that when it happens to you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he baptizes you with fire, when the Lord Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and fire, it's almost like you get to see that purity of who God really is. True love, true compassion, true mercy is what you experience when this happens. And most people, once they've had an experience like this, they're never really the same again. He sends his fire to his children. He baptizes his children with the Holy Spirit and fire. And this evening we're gonna talk about that. We're going to talk about how God comes and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'm going to show you scripturally what the fire does to the church and why the fire is so important for us, because that fire is what will get us prepared for what God has next, because there is a next. You see, the fire is for the church. The fire is for you and me. But God also wants to send his rain. His rain is not only for the church. His rain is also for the world. Hosea 6 verse number 1 says this. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will rise us up, that we might live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He's going forth, he's establishing as the morning. He will come to us like a rain, like the latter and the former rain on the earth. This rain of the Spirit is what comes upon a nation, upon a people, after the fire has hit the church. You see, it's important that the church turns to God first, because the truth is, it's not a nation that causes God's wrath. It's the church. It's his people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. Who's he talking to? His people. The spiritual condition of a nation, the spiritual condition of a city, the spiritual condition of a family has to do with believers. It doesn't have to do with non-believers. They don't know better. So they live like the world would live, obviously. But the church are the ones who have to turn to God first. When the church is consumed, when the church is consumed, it's serving God, following God, passionate about God, serving with all their hearts, he sends his fire to the church. And after he sends his fire, he sends his rain. Now let's go to an old story in the Bible that so many of us know so well. But let me quickly read Matthew 5:45. Watch this. The fire is for the church, the rain is for the church and for the world, the just and the unjust. Look, Matthew 5:44, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. So the rain of the Spirit, the rain of God, does not fall on the just only, but also on the unjust. But before the rain can fall on the unjust, the fire must first fall on the church. The rain comes for the saved and the unsaved. If you want to know what revival looks like, that's what revival looks like. Revival is a place where people first turn to God. Those people that first turn to God is the church. When the church repents, when the church cries out to God, recognizing that in our holiness, we still actually need to repent because we can't do it without Him. And when we surrender our hearts to God, He sends His fire. That fire will affect you so much that it will change the spiritual atmosphere in a region, and then God will send His rain. Amen. But it starts with us. That's why this message, I have to preach it now, because it's a prophetic message for right now. This message is, I've never felt so connected, so much like I have to minister a word like I do this word right now. And so this is not just for us as a church, it's for the church. It's a message to the church right now. I'm not the only one ministering this word. This word is for the church. Amen. Let's go take a look. Are you ready? All right. Let's go to 1 Kings 18:21. 1 Kings 18:21. Now, what I do want to do is set the stage and let you know that at this moment in Israel, the children of Israel have been without rain for 3.5 years. So there has been a drought. Now, I want you to think, as I minister this word to you in the natural, I want you to think spiritually. Because in the church, in many ways, there has also been a drought. So many people, churches say, oh, you know, God, send us revival. And they say it so half-heartedly, not wanting to even touch the things of God, because it makes them uncomfortable. But the biggest problem is not that. The biggest problem is the same problem that was taking place with the children of Israel the days of Elijah. Now, if you study Scripture, you'll see that it's the spirit of Elijah that will turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the sons. Why? Because the spirit of Elijah will bring back order. The spirit of Elijah will bring back unity. The spirit of Elijah will restore things for the coming of the Lord. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now as the church. Amen. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, watch this now, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Isn't that incredible? The people, the children of Israel did not want to answer God, because He's saying to them, listen, church. Elijah is saying to them, listen, church, don't serve two gods. Don't serve two masters. You can't serve God and Baal. You have to serve God only. Make a decision to serve one or the other. But because of the state of your heart and the fact that you are serving two masters, he is not pouring out His Spirit in this land. The land has become accursed. Because the spiritual condition of the church or the children of Israel at that time was one of compromise. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. During the times of Elijah, God's people began to worship idols. They still worshiped God, but they also worshiped idols. They did both. It's kind of like a mixture. Because of compromise, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, there was a drought in the land. Not because the people of the world, but because of the church, because of the children of Israel. The drought came because of them. The drought comes because of us. the future of the nation are on the lips of a praying church. A church only prays when they're on fire for God. A church only intercedes when they're on fire for God. Why? Because then you have faith. You won't pray if there's no faith. You won't come. You know how I know the condition of our church? I just look at the prayer meetings. Don't feel bad now if you can't be here. I'm not trying to run you down. I'm just saying. Amen. I know you're at home fighting in the spirit, going for it. Amen. Hallelujah. But the fact is, a nation gets affected because of the condition of the church. When the church compromises with one foot in the world, one foot in the church, that's when the climate dries up. And Elijah is saying to these people, how long are you going to live like this? How long are you going to choose? How long are you going to be between two opinions, falter between opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. Follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people never said anything. They just kept quiet. Verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bulls and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it. And they called the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord and the God who answers by fire. He is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Don't you think it's interesting that the problem is not one that needs fire? The problem is one that needs rain. Send revival. Send revival. Change the city. No, change the church first. Change the climate in the church. That starts with us. It starts with the house of the Lord. Elijah knew that the first thing that was necessary in order for the spiritual climate to change, where he would be able to hear the sound of abundance of rain, was first that the fire had to fall on the church. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God. But put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given to them and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. How ironic. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them. So now Elijah's having a great time. He mocked them and said to them, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he is busy. That means, actually, if you study it in the Hebrew, busy means he's on the toilet. Or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves as was their custom. It's so interesting to me. They're not getting anywhere, so now they're even trying to cut themselves and calling all their demons to come and try and do something here. Try and do some form of imitation. Desperation. Crying, marching, jumping, singing for the whole day from morning till evening. So they cried aloud, cut themselves as was their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday had passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he replied, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord which was broken down. He prepared the altar of the Lord which was broken down. God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. You are the altar. You are His vessel. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth with their altar, with their vessel. He is calling you to become a living sacrifice. He's calling you to make a difference. He's calling you to say, here I am, God. I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of worship. I'm going to rebuild a tabernacle of sacrifice unto my God. He's looking for us. And Elijah took 12 stones. Look at this. According to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Now it's so powerful, because you must understand there were 12 tribes of Israel. And there was a lot of dissension between the tribes. And he's calling them all, and he's bringing 12 stones, and he's placing it around the altar. These 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of Israel. What Elijah is saying is that there needs to be unity. There needs to be restoration. The church needs unity. You need unity. You need restoration. It starts in your own house. Stop looking at every pastor and saying, oh, you know, let's restore things in the churches. No, start at home. Start at home. Start in your household. Restore everything at home. Bring unity in home. Unity with your children. Unity with your husband. Unity with your wife. Unity in your family. It starts in our own houses. There was dissension and division between the north and the south at that time. But what the prophet does is he restores and he wants to rebuild the altar. So he starts by doing it symbolically, by placing the 12 stones. And he says, you shall be called Israel. There is only one church. It doesn't matter what denomination you come from. In the spirit, we are one. We are one. We all worship. We all love Him. We all serve Him. Let's not stand and point fingers and criticize. Let's just do what we are called to do. And that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, with everything inside of you. Don't look at everybody else and criticize them. Work out your own salvation. I said it earlier on, Malachi 4, 5 to 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Wow. The planet is falling apart. Have a look if you haven't noticed. There's a voice crying out in the wilderness, repent, turn back to me. Let me be your first love again. Stop worrying about all the mumbo jumbo. Oh, well, you know that church. Oh, well, you know this person. And the key starts in the household. The hearts of the sons to their fathers. And the fathers to their sons. God is in the business of restoration. Restoration. Healing. Unity. One accord. Sounds like the day of Pentecost to me. And they were all together. In one accord. In one spirit. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And that sound filled the place. And there were tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. What brought the fire that day? Unity. One accord. One place. One church. And the result of the event that took place on the day of Pentecost, when God sent His fire and His spirit, was a rain that fell on that city. How do we know? When Peter gets up and begins to preach, 3,000 people cry out and say, what must we do to be saved? Because the Spirit of the Lord began to move. The rain began to fall on the city of Jerusalem. And people began to cry out, what must we do to be saved? the convicting power, the Spirit of God began to move on the just and the unjust and began to draw people to Himself. Can somebody say amen? Stop looking at every other church. Stop looking about what's wrong with the body of Christ here and there. Let's focus on here right now. Let's focus on our own homes right now. If you need to make peace with your wife, go make peace with your wife. If you need to have restoration with your children, go make restoration with your children. Tell them that you love them with all of your heart, that you're thankful that God has given you such precious gifts. If you have a bad relationship with your father and your mother, go and make right with them. Go and be restored with them. The Bible says that you mustn't even bring your gifts to the altar. Rather, go and make right with your brother first. It starts with restoration. It starts with restoration and one accord. He only sends His fire out on people who forgive. I've prayed for people so many times. One person, the power of God hits them like the fire of God has been come down from heaven, and they've just the power of God's all over them. The person right next to them, nothing. And normally it's because of bitterness or unforgiveness or something like that. Normally, not always, but normally. You have to forgive. You have to let it go. And I'm not talking about like, forget it for today. I make a decision today to forgive, but tomorrow I remember again. Forgive means forgive. Turn away from it. Let it go like it was not. So you can move on and your heart can be free. And then watch as you surrender your life, as you become a sacrifice to Him, how He will send His Spirit and His fire upon your life. And do what you cannot do, what you've been trying to do with all kinds of different things, psychology, whatever. The Holy Spirit has a way when He gets a hold of you. If you surrender your life to Him to change everything, just like that. Just like that. No counseling necessary. The Holy Spirit makes my job much easier when He just encounters someone. Isn't that right, Dr. Ken? He's not even listening. He's busy talking. I got you, brother. Isn't it so much easier when God just encounters them? Amen. You better pay attention, brother. I'll come after you. If we don't forgive, He won't forgive us. That's what the Word says. Verse 32. Then with the stones He built an altar in the name of the Lord, and He made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. See, it's incredible. The first thing He does is He prepares the altar, and now He begins to make a sacrifice. He begins to make a sacrifice. Then it says in verse 33, and He put wood on the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Listen, when there's been a drought for 3.5 years, the last thing you want to do is pour water on a sacrifice. You're like, give me that water, I need to drink it, thy watereth. And not pour it over the sacrifice. Then He said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And He said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar. And He also filled the trenches with water. You see, it's interesting because if you look at Old Testament, John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, came with a baptism of what? Of repentance, which was what? Water. The water also represents repentance. See, the fire will not fall until repentance has come. The church has to turn and make a decision, and the church has to say, Lord, I'm willing to give my life as a sacrifice. The fire doesn't fall unless there's a sacrifice. Repentance and choosing to be a living sacrifice. Let me give you a scripture real quick. Are you guys okay? Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continue to offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Why praise? Because praise and worship brings you into a place of surrender. A place of surrender. A sacrifice of praise and worship brings the presence of God. Listen to me. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When you've truly made a decision to repent and to serve God, giving your body as a living sacrifice is easy, because you don't want to go back. You just want to serve him with everything. That's why the proceedings of what you see in Hebrews 6 is so straightforward, because when you come out of the water, when you've been water baptized, you are now in Christ. It should be like, yes, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I'm here. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to my own life, my old life. Now I'm here ready for you. And he just fills you with his spirit. Amen. Now watch. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I'm your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Do you see that? The whole purpose of this whole exercise before the fire falls is to turn the hearts of the people back to God again. Isn't it powerful, guys? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What I love about the prophet is that his declaration to God about the people's hearts being turned was already before the fire fell. It requires you to first make a decision to serve him, to follow him with all of your heart. You don't need to go over there. You don't need to look over there. He'll pour out his spirit right here. He'll touch you right here. Tonight in this place, he will consume you with his Holy Spirit and fire and change your life just like that. Just like he consumed that offering and the people's hearts were changed and turned. But that's not where the story ends. This is where it starts to get really good. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Nice. Down with the devil. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. What did it take for the prophet to hear the sound of the rain? It took the fire to fall on the children of Israel first before he heard that sound. So once the fire falls on us as a church, if you really, I heard you when I was in my office singing, Lord, change our city. If you really want to see the city change, don't look at everyone else and all the other churches. It starts with you. It starts with you and me. It starts with us. We are the ones who have to change. We are the ones who have to serve him. We are the ones who have to say, Lord, send your rain. Send your fire. Lord, start with me. Let me be a living sacrifice. Let my life be the one that changes first. Let my family be the ones that change first. Lord, whatever it is in me, take it out of me. Whatever it is in me that's stopping you from doing what you want to do in my life, take it out of me. For there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." You see, sometimes after the fire has come, we just think, well, okay, just send the rain, Lord. Just, you know, the fire's on me. I'm feeling really great. Send the rain. No, that's when you need to start to do what you've been called to do. In the early church, when the fire and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, that's when the work of the ministry began. That's when they went out and changed the world. Why? Because God was sending a flood into the whole world of His Spirit and His fire. The same thing will happen right here in Vero Beach right now if you choose to allow Him to fill you with His Spirit, to fill you with His fire. And after He does that, you don't sit back and say, okay, God, use everybody else. No, God is saying, I'm going to use you. I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take you and choose you to change the world, to change the city, to change your family. I'm going to use you. Go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked, said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Seven times. In other words, the results were not what he was expecting. So he went, but he heard the sound. He'd heard the sound. He knew it was coming. We can spend all day right there. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. There's a little bit of boldness right there. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds, the wind, and there was a heavy rain. How many of you here this evening say, I want to see a heavy rain in Vero Beach? I want to see a heavy rain in the United States of America. I want to see God pour out His Spirit. Send the rain to our nation, Father. Send the rain to this land. I'm so tired of hearing about revivals everywhere else in the world. America, it's our time. USA, it's our time. They're not going to talk about us like we're a nation that will not serve God with all of our hearts. Where they're not going to talk about us like we're a people that will not be passionate about our God. They're not going to talk about us like we're a lukewarm, easy-weensy, yellow polka dot bikini Christians. We are going to be a people that will thirst. We are going to be a people that are hungry. We are going to be a people that say, here we are, Lord, send us. We are going to be a people that was prophesied about by the prophet Joel when he said that he will send out his Spirit on all flesh. Can you say amen? I'm almost done. Zechariah 10, verse number 1. Ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make a flashing clouds. Will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain in the fields. Listen, for everyone. The just and the unjust. I have been in an atmosphere like this, where you walk into the bank, and while you're in the line at the bank, the teller begins to weep and she doesn't know why. I've been in an atmosphere like this where the presence of God is moving, and you know where it's moving? In the church. It's happening in the building at church. People's lives are being changed and challenged, and their lives are, they're serving God. They're having revival. They're having a move of the Spirit. They're surrendering. It all starts with repentance, to be honest. When we recognize our dependency on God. And when that happens and the Lord begins to send His fire in the church, suddenly He begins to send the rain out there. And people just get touched. When it broke out in Azusa, they had to call the fire department out. People's lives get changed. They would drive past the building. And while they were driving past the building, they would stop their cars and begin to repent. Do you know? Listen to me. Do you know that in Vero Beach there was a time that there was an outpouring in this city? Do you know that there was a radio station in Vero Beach and the power of God was poured out and the two people on the radio show fell on the ground? And not too long after that, people began to arrive at the radio station at Central Assemblies. And what would happen was the people would walk in the building and the power of God would hit them and they'd fall on the ground. They would get drawn there because there was an outpouring of the Spirit. Somebody has to stand up. If God did it once, He can do it again. And I'm not giving you secondhand information. I spoke to the man that was on that radio show. I know this happened. And God's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. But this time, no one will stop it. This time, no one will get in the way. I would rather die. I would rather die. I will not allow it. I will stand there and I will say no. Let's all stand to our feet. Lift your hands right there where you are. Come on, guys. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Young people, it doesn't work. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. It does not work. You live two lives. On Sundays, you serve God, but on Mondays, you're just like the world. It's time for us to repent. It's time for us to turn back to God. Come on, church, those of you that are here this evening, I'm only looking for a few people that are going to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. It's the Feast of Pentecost, and God is busy doing something on the planet right now. And this is your time. If you say, Pastor Alex, that's me, I want to surrender. I want to surrender my heart. I want to surrender my life to Him tonight. Come to the front quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come and surrender. If you come to the front, you come to surrender. Don't look around. Don't look at me. You come to surrender. If you want to go on your knees, you go on your knees. If you want to stand, stand. Do whatever you want to do. But make a decision this evening. Make a decision this evening. Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. But start tonight by sending your fire in this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Father, we need you. Lord, I pray right now. I start by asking, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for criticizing other churches. Forgive us for pointing a finger and comparing. Forgive us, Father, for the church is one church, your bride. I pray tonight in this place that you will cause us to not look around at anybody else, but Father, let it start with us. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need the fire of your Spirit. We need you, Jesus. Come, Jesus, come and be the baptizer tonight. Come and fill this place tonight. Come and fill this place tonight, Lord. Not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. Can you dim the lights for me just a little bit, guys? This is people's intimate moments. I want us to sing a song. Let's sing a song. While you're in this position of repentance, guys, make way. If you want to come to the front, come. All the way up to the altar. Just whatever you want. If you want to come and put your face on the altar, you can do it. Whatever you want to do. If you want to lie flat on the ground, you can do it. Nobody's looking at you. This is your night with God. We're going to surrender. Just wait one second. We're going to surrender tonight. We're going to surrender tonight in this place. And you don't need a touch from man. You just need Him tonight. You just need His Spirit tonight. He is here. If you say, Lord, I'm going to make my life a living sacrifice. and choose to worship Him as a sacrifice of praise and worship in this place, if you choose to do that. And even those of you back in your seats, I know not everybody likes to come to the front, but I see the posture of worship and surrender. Right there where you are, whether you're in the back or in the front, just lift your hands, lift your heart. You don't have to lift your hands, but just make a decision right now to worship Him in this place. God is on the move, guys. He's busy doing something here this evening. Just surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him as we sing this song and worship Him. Let's sing it now.
Feel over me, rushing winds of glory, of Holy Spirit. I can feel over me, rushing winds of glory, of Holy Spirit. I can feel over me, rushing winds of glory, of Holy Spirit.
to Him now. Cry out to Him. If you need to cry out, if you need to shout, let it out. If you need to apologize, if you need to repent, repent now. Just cry out. Let Him hear the cry of His people this evening in this place. Lord, we cry out to You tonight, Father, in this place. We cry out to You tonight in this place, Lord. Have Your way. Have Your way. Have Your way in my family. Have Your way in our households. Have Your way with our children. Have Your way in our marriages. Have Your way in our businesses. Have Your way in this church, Father. Have Your way, Lord. We repent, Father. Whatever it is that we have done, we repent, Father. We cry out to You this evening. Send Your fire, Lord. Send Your Spirit, Lord, once again. Consume us this evening in this place. Fill this place with Your presence tonight, Lord. Fill every person that is at the altar this morning and everyone that's here, Father, that's in this place. Now let's go real intimate. Just spend a few minutes just really just intimate with Him. Father, tonight, this is for You, Lord. Here we are, Father, surrendered to You this evening in this place with our whole hearts, Father. We are here this evening, Father. Have Your way in our lives. Let this be like it was on the day of Pentecost, Father. That from this night, Lord, we will go out and we will change our city. We will change our nation. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, surrendered to You. Just fill this place. Fill every person right now, Father. Touch them right now, right where they are, Father. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Just fall on them right now. Right now, right there where they are. Just fall on them right now. Right now, Father. Broken people, surrendered people, here we are, Father. Just for You. Just for You tonight in this place. Surrendered lives. Surrendered lives. All for Your glory. All for You, Father, in the name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.